right, turn with me in your Bibles, as I said this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're continuing to go through the book of 1 Corinthians. And so I'd like you to follow along with me as I begin to read here. It starts off, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, my brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another word of knowledge, another the same Spirit, to another by faith, the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another various interpretations. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, as we pray this morning, we pray that you would just bless your word to teach us and instruct us in this very important matter for us as believers in Christ. We pray, Father, thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. There seems to be two extremes within the church whenever you talk about spiritual gifts. On the one hand, the extreme is not to talk at all, okay, about them. And on the other hand, it's to focus all of our attention on spiritual gifts and just to talk about them all the time. Neither is to be the case. It's kind of a happy medium is where we're supposed to be. All too often, Christians don't operate within the body of the church, the fellowship of the church, because they really don't know what their gifting is, and so they don't participate. On the other extreme, there are people who say, well, my gift is more important, look at me, and they become arrogant about that sort of thing, and it causes factions. The story was told to some of you. I know Robert was Navy, and I know that Dallas was Navy. A story was told about a certain captain and his chief engineer who were having an argument as to which was the more important for the running of the ship, the sailing of the ship. And they failed to agree, so they decided that they were going to swap places. Okay, and they decided they were going to swap places because they could do the other one's job because that was easy. And the chief ascended to the bridge, and the captain descended to the engine room. And after a couple of hours, the captain suddenly appeared on deck covered in oil and soot, yelling, "Chief," and wildly waving, you know, a big old monkey wrench. And he says, "You'll have to come down here. I can't make her go." To which the chief responded, "Of course you can't. She's aground, right?" Each thought they were important, and each in their own right is important, but not mutually exclusive, right? Mutually dependent upon one another. And I think that's the thing. All too often when we come to spiritual gifts, some people will say, well, I'm more important, or this is more important, or that gift is more important. No. They must all work together. They work together in unity. In 1 Corinthians this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to realize the importance of knowing our spiritual gifts, okay? And today is kind of an overview. It's a flyover, really. There have been a lot of books written on the topic. There's a lot of confusion in a lot of books written on this topic. As I begin, you know, it's always important to ask, to define it. What is a spiritual gift? And you're going to find as many definitions as books you read. But a very simple working definition is a spiritual gift is a God-given capacity given to every Christian to carry out his function within the body of Christ. So it's a God-given function or God-given capacity for every Christian so that he or she may carry out his or her function within the body of Christ. Today's message, as I said, is kind of an overview. It's not exhaustive. The gifts that are listed in this passage are not exhaustive. There's just a few of them that are listed. But we're going to go through chapter 12 here for the ability to understand really why we should understand our spiritual gifts. First of all, verses 1 through 3. Paul states the value and the importance of teaching the Corinthians here about spiritual gifts. Now follow along with me. Paul immediately begins in this letter his desire to instruct the Corinthians in this matter. He says, "Now as to spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be," what? Unaware. This is the third time he employs that language in this book, alone. Back in chapter 7, he wanted them to not be unaware when it came to marriage. In chapter 8, he said, I don't want you to be unaware when it regarded idols. And now here we are in chapter 12, and he says, I don't want you to be unaware as he's coming to the matter of spiritual gifts. Now, throughout most of the Bible, most of the New Testament, when we talk about spiritual gifts, the Greek word, the word that's used there in the original language, is the word charisma, okay? Sometimes you'll say that a person has a certain charisma about him or her, right? And that means that they're attractive, or they're a good speaker, or they're, you know, in some ways, they draw your attention. Charisma means a grace gift. It's a gift that God has given because of his grace. Now, I find it interesting that even though I gave you all that background, that's not the word that Paul chooses to use in this situation. He uses a word that's only used one time in the entirety of the New Testament. He uses it right here, and it's pneumamoticos. And that word, now, if you heard the first part, I'll slow it down, pneuma, how many of you are into fixing things and like tools and stuff? How many? Yeah, okay. So, did you hear a word that Mike Miller, you heard that word. I could tell by the smile on your face. Pneuma is pneumatic, right? Sometimes we talk about pneumatic tools. What's a pneumatic tool? It's a tool that runs off of air, compressed air, right? I've got a few pneumatic wrenches in my collection of tools. I've got a couple of pneumatic wrenches. Some other people have some other things that they use. Instead of running technically on electricity, it runs off compressed air. Okay? Pneuma is the Greek word for wind or air or spirit. Okay? And so just as you cannot run a pneumatic tool off of its connection if it's not connected to the compressor, neither can we as believers in Christ operate in the capacity of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us if we are not connected properly to God in fellowship with Christ. Amen. And notice Paul's technique as he begins to instruct and correct the Corinthians here. Paul begins this portion of his letter by referring to the Corinthians. How does he refer to them? He says, brethren, my brethren. Now, so far, Paul has had some very harsh things to say to his brethren, hasn't he? Now, he's come down on them more than he's been kind of gracious to them. And I think what we see that's happening here is he's trying to build rapport again with them. He's kind of hammered them, and he's beat them about some different issues that they were really failing on. And now he's coming back to them, and he's saying, listen up, my brother. I got something here I want to instruct you. You need some to be taught something. And so he's trying to build rapport with them. About 40 years or so ago, maybe it's a little bit over 40 years ago now, my wife Carol and her family, they got to go to Europe, and they got to visit in the ancestral town, and they found a distant relative there. And pretty soon, you know, the distant cousin, they came, and, oh, it's the American cousins have come. Now, when I went to Ireland, they said that, but they said, you know, lock up the valuables, right? But with her family, they went and they said, you know, oh, welcome. And pretty soon, before long, like half the village had turned out. The American cousins are here. And instantly there was a rapport that had happened with them. There was a rapport that was built because of a common background. And so Paul is building this rapport, and he's about to say that to them. And I think the purpose is because he's going to hammer them again. He's getting them back on their side. It's a teaching technique, right? Those of you who are teachers, that you want to get them back on your side again just so you can hit them again. And he's about to hammer them again here because the Corinthian church, even though it was a church that had all sorts of spiritual gifts and everybody seemed to be super spiritual, they were operating in ignorance and they were operating in arrogance. And that is never the position as Christians in which we are supposed to operate. Spiritual gifts, some of them can be intimidating. Some can seem a tad bit strange to the human mind. But all of them can be manipulated and all of them can be abused. And people with wicked intention can misuse and abuse those gifts. There are false teachers. There have been false teachers. You know, just think of the damage that has been done through false teachers. And so Paul is saying here, hey, you need to handle these things carefully. Handle spiritual gifts carefully. You know, you handle nitroglycerin. You handle dynamite carefully, right? You don't just toss it around, right? Because why? Because it's explosive. Well, the Greek word for power is dunamis. Dunamis is the word from which we, in English, have kind of anglicized dynamite. And so he's saying here that this power, when we're referring to spiritual gifts and the power that can be associated with them, if they're used right, they can be explosively loving. When used wrong, they can be explosively destructive. So what's the purpose of spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are to be used to carry out the task that God wants us to fulfill within the body of Christ. Amen. Spiritual gifts are not primarily given for the benefit of the individual. You'll hear a lot today in certain elements of the church that we'll talk about my spiritual gift, and it sort of gives me a spiritual high, and I use it for myself, and blah, 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 blah. And that is not what you find is the point of spiritual gifts in the Bible. The Bible talks about the fact that they are to be used. How? They're to be used for the building up of one another. They are to be used so as to encourage one another. They are to be used so as to distribute individually, so as God wills, for what? For nurturing or encouraging of the saints. That's what the Scripture says is how we're to do that. That's what the Scripture says, how we're to use spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts are to be used for the benefit of others, as I said, and not purely for my own benefit. Spiritual gifts should work together. They're complementing of one another. There's a need for them to be active in the church body. Paul exhorts the Corinthian congregation to eagerly desire spiritual gifts in chapter 14, verse 1. And it doesn't mean that we will all receive the same gift. There are some churches that teach that you all have to receive the same spiritual gift. That is absolutely false according to Scripture. Okay? It's absolutely false. May not be popular to say, but it's false. God is the one who gives as God wills, and he gives to each person who is a Christian, he gives a spiritual gift, at least one, some more than one gift too. But he does it according to his purposes so that the entire body of Christ may be built up. Amen. So, in discussing spiritual gifts, Paul calls for sound thinking. He calls for humility. Because whenever our ego is involved in our thinking becomes distorted, doesn't it? You know? Ask somebody. You don't believe me? Ask somebody about their golf game. Yeah? How exactly long was that tee shot? Huh? 330? 272. You know? How big was that fish? 17, 18, 14 inches, you know? How fast was that time? How big was it? It distorts. Why? Because our ego gets in the way. And we become puffed up. And we love ourselves, don't we? We love ourselves. Grace, however, should lead us to humility, and it should find us to be consistent with what God wants us to do and say through us. Whenever you hear of a Christian who brags or boasts about his abilities or her abilities within the spiritual realm of something or another, watch out. Watch out for that person. I've seen ones on TV, and they talk about they can do this, that, and the other. You can't do anything without Christ. You are nothing without Christ. You are nothing save with regard to other than being in Christ. Spiritual gifts are important and vital to the life of the local congregation. They're to be used to serve and to build each other up. Second main point. What is the value and the importance of spiritual gifts in the life of a believer? Look at verses 4 through 6. Play verses 4 through 6 here. Some people will talk about it. They'll say, well, I don't know why Christians believe in the Trinity. Yeah, I don't know why they believe in a Trinity. There's no Trinity. There's no Trinity. Well, let's just follow along here for just a moment, okay? Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Amen. God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father, all mentioned within three verses. They're all involved. All three members of the Trinity are involved in the bestowal and the empowerment and the usage of spiritual gifts. And almost always when you read on these within, read on the topic of spiritual gifts within books that authors write, they'll always talk about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And yes, it's true, the Holy Spirit is primary in a lot of areas when we deal with spiritual gifts. But we see here in this passage, Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father. The Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts, we see in verse 4, in the life of the believers. And it says here, a varieties of gifts are given. God has a great big toolbox. And he has all sorts of tools in that toolbox. And to one he gives this, and to another he gives that, and to another he gives another. All are originating in him. All are being empowered by him. All are being custodial, served by him, okay? But he's the one that chooses. And it's not, thank God, it's not a one-size-fits-all, right? How many of you have ever been someplace where they've had the one-size-fits-all hat? Really what they mean by that is one-size-fits-most, and it mostly means, you know, from the country of origin, okay? So Pakistan or China or whatever, that's what it means. And they try to put it on your big old cabeza and it doesn't fit, right? And you begin to wonder about it. Well, it really means one size fits most. It doesn't mean one size fits all. Well, in the church, we try to say, oh, everybody's supposed to be the exact same. We're supposed to have the exact same gift. We're supposed to employ it the exact same way. That is not what the scriptures teaches. Here it says there are varieties. Varieties. God is into variety. Have you ever thought about that? God is into variety. God was there before Baskin-Robbins, okay? He was into variety long before they or anybody else was into variety. And you think about it, snowflake, different, right? Big old piles of it here in Iowa, you're shoveling, they're all different, okay? Every fingerprint, different. Every leaf on every tree is a little bit different. Every grain of sand is different from the other. Isn't that amazing to think about? Yes, they are wonderfully different from another. Isn't that amazing? They're wonderfully different, but yet God uses all of that together. Look around us this morning, okay? We're wonderfully different. It's okay. It's great. God brings all of us together. How does it bring us together? In Christ Jesus. Amen. That's why, you know, different ones of you are praying about what's been going on in our country. Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring us together. We have different backgrounds. We have different histories. We have different cultural backgrounds. We have different ethnic backgrounds. We have all that different in our past. But Jesus Christ is the great unifier. He's also the great divider. If you don't want to know Christ, if you don't want to know God, then you're going to be divided. Okay? We see here the Lord Jesus, God the Holy Spirit first, the Lord Jesus second, is involved in overseeing a variety of gifts used in these ministries. Now, look at what it says here. The word is ministries, okay? Ministries is used there. And the Greek word for that means to have a compassionate love towards the needy. It can be the needy both within the church, but it can also be the needy outside of the church. And every time, if you have a business, if you have a calling, if you have some form of service that you are serving somebody who is more needy than you are, okay, that is a diakonia, okay? You are, in that sense, performing a ministry to them. So, last Sunday night, many of you saw this, many of you were here, and thank you all who helped, okay? We had 211 people come through the doors to receive stuff, okay, for school, back-to-school stuff, okay? We partnered with HACAP, and they gave us, you know, a lion's share of all of that, and we were able to partner to minister to our community here. There's a lot of people that have a lot of needs within 500 meters of this building, okay? And we were able to tangibly help a lot in that sense. Do you know one of the great needs that was helped in that? We had one of our own Gideons who were here the other night. Gideon's our group that give out Bibles. Jim Mays was here. Handing out Bibles. Do you know that about 150 children received Bibles last Sunday night? Is that amazing? Okay. You can get a little bit excited. I preached in the first service. I've been off for 6 weeks, you know, from preaching first service. And I had to chew them out, too. So get a little bit more excited, okay? I'm tired. I'm more tired than you are, okay? 150 kids got Bibles. All right? There you go. That's okay. I mean, they got the book packs, and they got all that stuff, too, the book bags and all that, backpacks and all that. That's fantastic, you know? But they got Bibles. It's wonderful. Now, spiritual gifts enable us to carry our task from within the body and to do things that really no one else can. Do you know that you are unique and that you are important? In fact, let me say, you are essential in the plan of God. Amen. I know a lot of people, oh, that just doesn't sound right, Chris. That just, you know, doesn't sound too humble. Yeah, I can't think that I'm essential. You are essential in the plan of God. God has saved you, God has sanctified you, God has set you apart, God has wooed you. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You didn't have anything to contribute. God saved you in spite of yourself, okay? And he says you have a valuable ministry within the body of Christ to the members of the body of Christ and even outside the members of the body of Christ. And it may be, and later on in this chapter, and we're not going to get to it today, but later on it talks about the fact you may be an ear, you may be an eye. You may be a big toe, okay? Maybe it's a big toe, sorry. You may have fungus on your big toe, I don't know, okay? You may be a kidney, you may be an arm, you may be a whatever else. And some people say, well, I'm just not that important. Try walking the first few times without a big toe, okay? Try walking around, try hearing when you can't hear out of one ear, right? Or when your eyesight's gone, seeing, or whatever it is. Everyone is important. And you know what we really need to focus on? The devil wants us to come along and say, my needs aren't being met, my needs this, my needs that. I find it interesting you never find that phrase in Scripture. Can I get a witness? Okay. What you do get, and do find a lot of, is serve one another, encourage one another, love one another, lift one another up, right? God is the one that empowers that. And so we see in verse 6, God the Father is also involved in the gifts of the Spirit. A variety of effects, it says. The word effects is a word that, again, English speakers, native English speakers, you'll hear in the Greek, and it'll sound very energema. Energema. Okay? What's it kind of sound like? Energy, right? Energy. God is the one who gives energy to you and me to do his will. Amen. To perform ministry and to fulfill the functions that he wants us to do. We don't do it in the power of our own strength. Amen. That's how you get super burned out. That's how you get super tired. That's how we fall into sin. When we do these things in our own strength. My son-in-law was recently on a missions trip. And he went to the Philippines, and he was in the Philippines for about 10 days, a remote island, and he was seeing about 200 to 300 patients a day. That's a lot. I figured it out. If it's a 12-hour day that they were working, that's about what it was. That's 25 an hour, okay? That's one patient every 2.4 minutes for 12 hours. There's no lunch break. Okay, that's an incredible pace. Now, many of you know John. You know that he has more energy than a hyperactive squirrel on uppers. Okay, but nonetheless, that is a pace that even a hyperactive squirrel on uppers can't keep going. And apparently, you know, apparently even he said, "Man, I just felt like I was empowered by God." And I slept like a baby, and I got up in the morning, and I just went right back out in 12 hours or whatever it was that he said. It just seemed to go right by. Well, that's because you're operating in the Spirit. Amen. That's why you're operating in the Spirit. You're being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is empowering. God the Father is giving energema, okay, energy. to fulfill the work that he wants to do. Now, my daughter said when he came back home, he collapsed, okay? He was tired, okay, after all that. He was very, very tired. God gives for the need when there's the need. Spiritual gifts are to be a cause of humility in serving others in the Lord. We're to be humble, and we're to see that my spiritual gift and your spiritual gift, they may be different, okay? But it doesn't mean that yours is better or mine is worse or vice versa, okay? What it means, though, is that we're to be complementary within the body of Christ so that the areas that I don't serve in or the areas that you don't, it still gets done, it still happens to the glory of God, okay? And we think about that. Donald Gray Barnhouse was a wonderful preacher from decades ago, and he told the story about two students who graduated from the Chicago Kent College of Law. The highest-ranking student in the class was a blind man by the name of Overton. And when he received his honor, he insisted that half the credit should go to his friend Kaprzyk. They had met one another in school when the armless Mr. Kaprzyk had guided the blind Mr. Overton down a flight of stairs on one of the first days of school. This acquaintance ripened into a friendship and became a beautiful example of interdependence. The blind man carried the books, which the armless man read aloud in the common study. Thus, the individual deficiency of each other was compensated by the other. And you know what they did upon graduation from law school? They opened a practice together. Pretty good, isn't it? Spiritual gifts are a reality in the life of Christians. And one of the things I feel that sometimes we make a mistake is we look at the grand examples, okay? And we look at them and we say, you know, Billy Graham, bless his heart, he's got the gift of evangelism. And he does, okay? We look at a guy like a professor that I had back in seminary, Dr. Larkin, okay? Dr. Larkin was one of the geekiest individuals I've ever met in my life, but he was one of the most incredible scholars I've ever met in my life, okay? He was a teacher, okay? We think about somebody like Letourneau, who, you know, as a giver, he's gave millions of dollars away in his lifetime to the cause of Christ. We think about like the gift of faith, you know, George Mueller. And we think about those type of individuals, and sometimes we just kind of shrink back and say, well, I'm not like that. You know, I've led a couple people to Christ, but I'm not like Billy Graham, okay? I've got a gift of faith. Well, no, don't think that way. That is how God has used that gift in that person's life. You are just as valuable, just as important in the overall cause of Christ when you are functioning within obedience to the Lordship of Christ, within the power or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, whether you have the gift of evangelism, you're preaching in Colosseums, or you're talking to your neighbor over your coffee table. Whether you have faith to run an orphanage for 60-odd years without ever asking for money, or whether you have faith to see, you know, your next-door neighbor's marriage put back together, or something accomplished within the body of Christ. Faith, gift of giving. You may say, well, I'm not a multimillionaire like R.J. Letourneau was. So what? If God has given you a gift of giving, God will use your smallness of whatever that gift is, and he will multiply it for greatness. Amen. Let's don't get caught up in that type of thing. And see, the error of the Corinthian church was to confuse spiritual gifts with spirituality. Because somebody could put on a big show, speak this way, say that sort of thing. They thought, wow, aren't they so spiritual? The same thing happens today. Amen. You know, I don't want to shoot down your opinion, but, you know, the person taking up the offering maybe probably is more spiritual than the person standing in front of you right now, okay? It may just be that the person who has the gift of helps is more spiritual than the person who's an evangelist who's led hundreds of people to Christ. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about employing the gifts that God has given. But they're all to be given. They're all to be used. How? In a humble, contrite fashion, knowing that we in ourselves have absolutely nothing to do with it. Amen. Third and finally, and I'll wrap this up relatively quickly, the nature of gifts. Now, in verses 7 through 11, the apostle here lists out I think it's 9 gifts, okay? Some translations may translate it as only 8. But he lists out these gifts. And you can read those for yourself. You can read what they are. The background of it is, love is at the heart and center of how spiritual gifts are to be used in the body of Christ. Amen. Lovingly. Lovingly. We're not to use them to try to impress somebody else. We're not to use them to run over somebody else. We're not to use them to intimidate somebody else. The Bible tells us that they have been given for the common good of the body. So our gifting is to be used to, as I said, to serve one another and what? Build each other up. Love is the aim of spiritual gifts. If it's possible to possess and exercise impressive spiritual gifts without love, the Corinthians were doing it. The next chapter that we'll look at teaches that very thing. They had all the spirit. They had all the show gifts. They were showy. They had all these things which seemed to be so spiritually impressive. And what was the one thing that they were lacking? Love. Love. They weren't being loving. They weren't loving their brother. They weren't demonstrating that love. And so when we think about spiritual gifts, we have to realize that if we fail to glorify Christ, if we fail to love our brother and our sister through their employment, then we are misusing them. We're misusing them. We see within the Bible that there is a lot that is spoken of when it comes to this topic of spiritual gifts. Do you know in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we are today, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 will refer to spiritual gifts, okay? In the book of Romans, chapter 12, we'll refer to spiritual gifts. In Ephesians, chapter 4, and in 1 Peter 4, it'll refer to spiritual gifts. Now, some people have tried to count what they are, and again, it depends upon the translation of your Bible. Some people will say there's 39. Some people say there's less than that. I don't really know, okay? You can count for yourself as well, okay? I'm not sure. It depends on which scripture, which version you're looking at. The thing to realize is that God is the one who's created them. God is the one who's given. Find out which one yours is. Use your one or two or three gifts that God has given in order to build up the body of Christ. Gifts are given with a matter of stewardship involved. Okay? God wants you to use what God has given to you. All right? You know, we hear nowadays there are people who are portfolio managers. All right? And they will manage your retirement funds, and they'll manage this, that, and the other thing for you. Do you think they'd do a very good job if they didn't know what you had?
No.
Yeah? If you were asked to manage an investment property for somebody, and you didn't even know the address, would you do a very good job? Probably not, right? And so it's so important that we begin to try to understand what it is that God has done within us and how we are to use that within the body of Christ. And you know what? There is something I've seen over the years that's just been exciting. God gives some people the ability to do something in a certain situation that maybe it's a one-time-off deal, right? Where he gives it to them to do. But it's a gift from God in that situation, right? I cannot tell you how many times, my father's been dead now about seven and a half years. I cannot tell you how many times I've been working on a car or working on something else, and I come to this frustrating point, all right? And the frustrating point is, I don't have the right tool for the job, you know? And it's so frustrating because I think I know how I could do it and fix it if I had the tool, right? And I might seem a little weird. It's okay. You all know that I'm more than a little weird. But I will take time and I'll pray and I'll say, Heavenly Father, would you show me if my dad left me one of those tools? Okay? I've got this great big tool chest at the front of my garage. When Catherine was learning to drive, it was when she knew to stop the van. And anyways, I will go through that and I'll look. And you know, there have been, I don't know how many times it's been. I've gone, thank you, Father, Heavenly Father, and Thank you, Dad. If you can hear it, thank you, Dad, too. And there's been the tool right there, the drill bit. The other day, I was looking for a masonry drill bit. You know what that is, right? There was one. Why did I spend the money? It was there all the time. Your heavenly Father knows what you need.
Amen.
He knows when you need it. And he's able to empower you to fulfill it. The problem is we're always all too very busy, aren't we? Too busy. Tomorrow, the treadmill starts up again. We don't get off for 9.5 months, right? Run. Kids go in here, kids go in there. I woke up this morning, I looked out back, 7:25. People are driving to the soccer fields. You know, lining up. Kids have got to play this. Kids have got to have lessons in that. Kids have got to do this. Kids have got to go there. Alabama, the country music group, sang a song years ago. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I've really got to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. Sound familiar? We're just running and running and running. And I won't say running on empty. Okay. We're running and running and running. And we all get 168 in a week, right? We all get 24 in a day. We all get 8760 in a year. Hours. That's it. Hours. And whatever your lifetime is, those are the hours that we get. How are you going to use them? I'm convinced that God wants some of you young people, God wants you to be Bible translators in another country. Some of you, God wants to be missionaries. Why do you think I had you read all these missionary books this summer? Evangelist books and books about pastors and teachers and overcomers in the world so that you can just go out and get a really expensive job and get into thousands and thousands of dollars worth of debt at school? Huh? No! Why don't you think about how life can be planned to effectively use it for God's sake. The Bible tells us, and I wrap up with this, Psalm 139. Okay, Psalm 139 talks about the fact that we were fashioned together in the womb. And who did it? God did it. God fashioned us together in the womb. Whatever our capabilities, whatever our strengths, whatever our weaknesses, there is an omniscient God in heaven who specifically made you, you. And he knows the number of days that you have. He knows the abilities. He knows what you need help in. Okay? And you know, he knows what gift you can handle.
Amen.
By his grace, what gift you can handle. There's no accident that Billy Graham is Billy Graham. There's no accident that Dr. Larkin was Dr. Larkin, or R.J. Letourneau was R.J. Letourneau. There's no accident that you're you, either. There's no accident that God wants to use you within the body of Christ to build up and encourage one another. Paul, as he is writing at the very end of his life, he writes off what's called 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy, he says to his spiritual son in the faith, to Timothy, he says, Kindle afresh the gift that was given to you through the laying on of my hands. Okay? We're rushing, we're running, we're hurrying, we're going this, we're going there. Maybe we need to kindle afresh what God has done in our lives. Right? What God has given us.
Amen.
Kindle afresh so that you can be the agent of change in somebody's life or in the life of this neighborhood or the life of this country or the life of a country overseas, right? Kindle afresh. Kindle afresh. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word today. And as we pray, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would show us specifically what our gift is. And if we don't know, Lord, that you would help us to better understand by reading these different passages, those areas in which we're motivated in to minister. And Father, that we might walk in the fullness of who you have made us to be in Christ Jesus. Bless us, Lord, to never be proud or arrogant in these things, but Lord, to be dependent upon our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this body of believers now today. We pray your blessing upon each one as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen. Amen.